T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All sorts of kids playing basketball yesterday. I play basketball. There's no concept of social distancing while playing basketball. It doesn't exist. You can't stay 6 feet away from a person playing basketball. You can, but then you're a lousy basketball player and you're going to lose.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
It's going to feel like a bit of a throwback this evening on 670 The Score. One less hour, just heard Bears All Access. I'm still here till 10 o'clock, but I decided to invite a friend for each hour tonight to just hang out. And next hour at 8 o'clock, it's going to be my buddy from You Better You Bet, Nick Kostos. We'll talk a little betting, and he's already amped up for the football season. So some news, some reports out there earlier today might have him a little upset that maybe the NFL season does not start on time. 9 o'clock hour, we'll check in with Ron Coomer. And remember, starting next Wednesday, April 1, we are going to be airing all 17 Cubs playoff games from that 2016 run. I'll be hosting it, doing a pregame, a postgame with Pat and Ron. They'll also be reacting to everything going on throughout the game with me as well. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But right now, let's start with Lawrence Holmes. You hear him every day, noon to 2 on 670 The Score. Got the LoHo Daily podcast going, House of L podcast going. And Lawrence, I just realized you're going to hit the century mark next. Do you have that that guest all planned?
Yeah, my best friend Afia is going to be the 100 episode, because I was threatened by her if I wasn't going to be have her be the 100th episode, because she said that I should have been the first episode. So she's like, You got to give me like a big number, and I was like, okay. So she gets 100, and we're gonna. We finished the interview last week. It's really good. It's since Afia is the producer of the Jam, the executive producer of the Jam over on WCIU, We spend a lot of time like talking about how different things are right now, like producing a television show and trying to do it remotely. And then the second half of it, we discussed like our friendship, and it's good. It's a really good episode. I'm excited for people to hear it. I'll drop it Sunday night. Right now, the episode 99 is with Patrick Mooney. So after they're done listening to you tonight, they should go and check out search House of L podcast and check out the episode with Patrick Mooney. What's crazy about it, Joe, is that episode, we recorded that episode 3 weeks ago, and it feels like it could be like 2 years ago, considering how things have changed, because he was here in Chicago because he was taking his break from spring training, and we talked.
That's
a lot
when I was in studio with you for an hour. That was a long time ago.
It feels like even longer ago. that's how long. So that's the episode this week. But thank you, I appreciate the plug.
Is it as good as episode 52?
No, episode 52 is a. is a tour de force of episodes. Like, you know what's crazy? Like, since I decided that I was going to bring a bunch of those pieces of episodes back, because there's not a lot of sports, and I figure I already have the content, so why not bring the content to people that haven't heard it? I've been going through a lot of the episodes, like finding chunks that I want to play for the audience. So You're on a list. You're on a list of people whose episodes I'm going to bring back.
Don't get me fired, really. I mean, these are trying times as it is right now. Please don't get me fired, because I might get fired.
No, no, you won't get fired. I do believe I have to bleep some of our stuff, though.
Yeah. Yeah, do that. Make sure you bleep some of it. Oh, man. I know you've been discussing it during your show, but obviously a different audience. I'm sure some listeners out there are very excited to hear you. Maybe they're a little bit busier than during the day and they're not up on the podcast game. What have you been doing for your own mental health right now to stay sane?
Well, luckily today was nice enough that I went out and I had a run. I went out for a run today and I was really happy. Like, I've been waiting, honestly, like the last like 4 days, because of the way the weather has been, I haven't really gone outside. And so knowing that today was going to be nicer, I had planned around going to take a run, and it is completely like enhanced my mood. And I suggest that everyone, like, probably when we're done tonight, I might go like take a little walk or just sit on my back porch. But just being able to be outside and breathe air, and you're supposed to get out and exercise. You're just not supposed to do it in groups. Like, you're not supposed to be, you know, clumped up or grouped up. But running, and I've always actually, it's strange, Joe, like, I've always found, since I started running, probably, God, maybe like 10 years ago, I started to like take it seriously. I like the solitude of running, and it's a different type of solitude than what you have. Even, you know, even if you're in your house with your spouse, like, it's a different type of solitude. So it gives me a chance to think and be active and be in the sunshine, and even though you're not like around people, you're still kind of around people. There's activity that's going on around you. So I found that to be extremely therapeutic today.
I need to be better about that. I have not been getting out of the house. And we are similar in the way that we're cool just hanging out inside at home. But this is taking it to another level. Even today, in you know how it is, with nothing going on, it feels like we need more time to prepare, even though we don't have as much sports to watch. There's not as much to keep up on. But as far as the time on the air, I'm finding that we have to spend more time, because this is where we have to be more creative.
No, there's no doubt about it. There's a lot of time that has to be spent in trying to like prepare a show. And I'm really happy that people have been generous with their time to be guests. People that are, you picking up the phone and they'll talk with you about whatever's going on or whatever's on their mind. The only thing is and another way that I think that you and I are similar is that we have to be careful, because what you don't want to take your home and make it a place that you don't want to be, because yeah. You're working like a crazy person. And so last night, I'm all of this is like everyone who's working from home, you're trying to make adjustments. Like, you're trying to adjust and figure out what is the best thing for you, what works for you. And for me, like, there needs to be a little bit of a separation between church and state for me when it comes to work. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to make sure that each night, like, when I'm done, I'm done. And I'm not tinkering, and I'm not like, oh, well, let me just go listen back to this 5 minutes, or let me read this piece on Pro Football Talk or whatever. Like, it'll all wait until the next morning. And that's how it's working for me. I know that everyone has their own system, but that's how I'm trying to make it all make sense.
Well, as you know, my wife works from home, and I've always told her I can never do that. I couldn't operate the way she does, but she's always found a way to make it work. But I also understand these are very different circumstances. The kids are home all day too, and they're not supposed to be home. And we're doing homeschooling. I was actually thinking about you earlier. Now today, I'll be honest, things went off the track. So we've been pretty good with the schedule. Okay, this hour you do this. I think Jack played a game called Roblox all damn day. I mean, we were just trying to get through the day. It's Wednesday, but I had to check the calendar, I think, 6 different times, because it feels like it's, you know, the very day 7, day 8, or, you know, Monday was just 2 days ago, but it feels like it was a couple of weeks ago. And I was thinking about young Lawrence, because you've shared many stories, what it was like growing up with your parents. Both love teaching. And yep. What it would be like for you with the teachers, they don't have anywhere to go to work, but you've still got to go with the homeschooling stuff. Would that be a positive or a negative experience for young Lawrence? Because you know there would be no plan.
I think that it actually would be a positive. Oh, and there would be a plan. Like that's one of the things that my mom was really good at. So this is basically like homeschooling stuff. It's stuff that my mom did during summer. My mom's name is Rosemary, and we would call summer, like what we do in summer, Camp Rose, because she would have stuff for us to do, and she would have worksheets and reading. Like we had to do like a reading list every summer, and for the most part, like I kind of stick to that even as an adult. Like I pick out a few books that I want to read during the summertime, and usually for me when I was covering the Bears, it was something that always butted up against training camp. Like I needed to be done with my summer reading list before training camp started because I was covering the team, and then that takes up all of your time. But my parents' approaches to teaching is very similar to their personalities, and so my dad's kind of this kind of abstract guy. Like he's like, oh, well, why don't you read this and then we can talk about what you think about it. And my mom's like, here's the assignment. This needs to be done and you have such and such amount of time to get it done. So yeah, I feel for anyone who is trying to figure out how to homeschool. And I mean, look, I work as a quasi educator at DePaul, and we've had to switch things around. This happened 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, DePaul was like, listen, we're going online and you have to change everything and get your curriculum to be an online. And that was a really difficult thing for me, because when you're teaching media and you're an adjunct, like you're someone who's using their experience in the field to work with the students to help better prepare them for the professional aspect of their lives. You want to be there. You want to be hands-on. Like I this quarter, I was really excited because last year I wasn't in the classroom that I'm usually in, and the classroom that I'm usually in has a studio that's connected to it, so I could get students into the studio and make corrections with them in real time, and so those things I had to change a couple things around, but I have a lot of respect for people who do that for a living and do online. And I did it for 2 years at Alabama, and I've taken a lot of things that they implemented at Alabama and tried to add it to what I'm doing at DePaul. But I can't even imagine what are the kids? What are they? 6 and 4?
7 and 5.
Seven and five. So, oh my God. Yeah.
Jack is very chill, and he's a great student. It wears on him if he gets a B+. He's very upset with himself. He's that kind of a student. All of his teachers love him. Emma's a different story.
She's got an energy all her own,
she's
man.
She's a handful. She is a handful, and she lets you know what she's thinking at all times.
Oh, well, I mean, you guys have got your work cut out for you for sure, but I think that
even though
they're – the idea is, well, you got to, you know, have like classes and stuff. I honestly think that some of the stuff that you share with children at a time like this is all stuff that's going to be valuable to them, that they're going to learn. That's why, like, I've been talking about the Chicago by L special on WTTW. Mm-hmm. I think that that's a wonderful way. Now, maybe your kids are maybe a little too young to appreciate it, but if you have kids that are a little bit older, what an incredible way for positive screen time, where it's something that's good. It's a vibrant like show, like it's cool, like it's interesting stuff, and you're learning stuff as you go. So I guess my advice, not that I'm, you know, completely trained for this, but my advice is, it doesn't have to be like old school book curriculum. That if you can try and make some of the lessons that they would use in their everyday life, or share stories with them, like, this is a great time to do some storytelling and just do that and see what happens. Like, have them ask you questions. Like, have them interview
there's nothing
you.
There's nothing that will grab, at least with my children, that grabs their interest like me explaining something and say, well, when I was your age, this is what I played, or this is what I liked, this is what I watched, this happened to me when I was your age. That grabs their attention more than anything. I mean, kids adjust. It's amazing. Like, now it's normal. When I came downstairs, I'm doing the show from my basement, like you are. When I came downstairs, like, all right, Dad, I'll see you later. Like, it's normal now. And, they still know that they hate the coronavirus, and it's disrupted their lives in many ways, but they deal with it. Like, okay, I can't go hang out with my friend. We can't go play basketball or trade Pokemon cards or anything like that, but I can FaceTime him and we can talk and have a little fun. Or if we're going to go on a walk with Mom, let's go by their house and we can wave and talk through the storm window for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, the resiliency of children is something that I admire, because they bounce back like so well. Like, they deal with it, and they're dealing with it now. And that's a universal thing, Joe. I still do that. Like, when I go see my parents, I ask them about stuff in their childhood and stuff in their history. And I'm the same as what your children are right now. Like, I will sit there and listen to my dad tell stories about growing up in Chicago, or whenever my parents would come to town. Like, it's always fun. You know, they live out in the south suburbs, and it's always
by
fun
me.
Whenever, yeah, by not too far from you. And whenever they come back, like, the way that they look at the city is amazing, because they're blown away by how things have changed. And then you get the stories of, well, this is what it was like when I was your age, or this is, well, not my age now, but this is what it was like when I was a teenager. This is what it was like when I was at college. And it's fun to kind of share those stories. And now, like, I didn't realize that my dad, like, there's a church in the South Loop called Quinn Chapel that's historic. It's like Underground Railroad, like the whole nine yards. I didn't know that my dad went there as a child, that was like his church. And so now whenever I'm in the South Loop and I see Quinn Chapel, like, I think about that. So those are all things that the kids will pick up on and they'll grab onto. And I mean, shout out to all the parents, man. You're everyone's out there doing their best, trying to keep everything together and everything sane. And I really respect what any parent is trying to do to make it so that their child, like, has a great day. And, like, that's the goal. Like, you're just trying to make it as normal as possible until things get back, hopefully, to our old normal.
I want to bring this conversation over to media. And you mentioned, you were talking about your class and the adjustments that you're going through. I want to pick your brain. And we don't know. I feel like we still know nothing right now. And we don't, as far as timeline or return to normalcy, sports, and the future of media. But I want to talk to you about what's going on right now, about the future of sports and media, and how it's going to change. Because it's going to change, Lawrence, forever. I think every little sector of this, if like next hour, and I have Nick Costos, I'm going to talk a little bit about the sports betting stuff. Sports betting is going to change forever once sports finally does return.
It is. It's
so
going to be.
We're gonna, yeah.
You're going to take a break?
Yeah, let's take a quick break, because there's a lot there. We'll do that.
Okay.
Lawrence Holmes, a familiar voice. You know him. You listen every day, noon to 2, 670 The Score. He's on Twitter at LawrenceWHolmes. I'm at Joe0670. We'll continue this conversation on the other side on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Hey, it's Joe0670 670 The Score. Joe Ostrowski, not Joe Exotic. I'm with Lawrence Holmes. He's hanging out for this hour. You hear him new to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Lawrence, in the last segment, I'm glad you led us down this road a little bit, just about the impact of media. But first, let's start with sports. Once we do have sports, and you know, it's interesting this week, the conversation seems, we seem to move the goalposts again and again with this because we have no idea what's going to happen and it hasn't even hit peak yet. And now we're wondering if football is even going to be starting on time. I'm thinking about the impact to sports. Do you think we're going to see less sports, meaning not as many games as we always have?
I wonder about that. I wonder what the lessons that are learned here by the sports industry. I think that they'll try to get in as many games as they can, and which is, I'm interested to see what
good.
I don't know if it is either, Joe. I'm interested to see what baseball does, because they're at the end of this, if we get through it and everyone's all right, there's an opportunity here for baseball to try some things, to experiment in a truncated season and see what the impact is. Now, it's hard to judge because clearly once baseball, if baseball comes back, people are going to be so starved for it that they're going to throw themselves into it. So it might be hard to judge what the results are because the audience is so starved to have their baseball team back, to have their seasons back. But I do think that there's a chance that baseball could maybe do and say, well, do we really need a 162-game season? And I know that that sounds like sacrilege to people who are old-school baseball fans and do care about some of the records, but I just think that that game, more than any of the other ones, could use some freshening up. And maybe the freshening up will be that it is a shorter season with less stuff. Now that being said, Joe, I was joking about this today. I do miss baseball as my nightly companion. And it's different for us, so it's hard for me to judge, because we're watching games every night. We're watching recaps every morning. But there's something about not even a Cubs or Sox game, but like let's say it's an off day where you're just watching the Angels and Mariners late night because you can, because it's on, and you're seeing a different ballpark and hearing a different broadcast or whatever it is. Like there's something that is soothing about that. That's one of the relationships that we have with baseball. But I think that they need to really look at how they can improve their product, and it might be a supply and demand thing where there's less supply of it, and maybe that will make people want more of it.
We will circle back to the media aspect, but it's going to hit people again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because tomorrow's supposed to be opening day. And I don't know, you're a guy that would head over to the South Side to check out games on a regular basis. I don't know if you re-upped for your season tickets, but whether you have those or not, you would go all the time, certainly with a lot of day games. What are you going to miss about going to the ballpark? And I don't even, it's something I've kind of discussed a little bit, Lawrence, this year, even if they are back sometime in June or even July, I doubt that I would go to a game this year.
Yeah, it's probably going to, I think that obviously, like, I'm going to follow whatever the guidelines are, but I was looking forward to this season because I was going to change up my season ticket package. And I was like in the final stretches of that. Like, I know Marissa is my account agent at White Sox. And I know she's so sick of me because all winter long, I was like, well, what about if we did this? And what if we did this? And so I finally came down. This is the year where I wanted to, I had had like the weekend package. And it would end up being maybe 31 games because I would add in like day games here or there during the week. And so this year I wanted to ball out. Like I saved up money and I was like, I'm going to ball out this year, but I'm going to do less games. So what I was going to do was 10 games in the Gold Club. Like, and just really just be stupid with it.
Quality over quantity.
Yes. And so I picked my 10. Like, I'm sitting there with back of the envelope math. And I picked my 10 games that I was going to do. And then baseball stopped. So I'm just sitting there like, I finally figured out, like, I wanted to make sure I had enough division games and enough games with the Twins. And I want to see Mike Trout. And I want to have one of the Cubs games. Like, I had all this stuff, like, ready to go. And then nothing. But the thing I'm going to miss is honestly just walking the concourse. I love watching the game live. I love watching the game. Like, you find a seat behind home plate, like even in the back row of the 100 level, in like 131, 133, 135. I love watching games from there and being that close to it. But I also love like walking the concourse and seeing, yes, seeing like the cool like White Sox fan gear that maybe I don't have. Like, you see, like, oh man, that's cool. I saw a guy a few years ago that had a White Sox, like, Wu-Tang Clan t-shirt. And I was like, man, that is so brilliant. Like, that's perfect. You take the W from the Wu-Tang and turn it into White Sox, and it's super dope. Like, seeing the choices that people make. Like, what cap are they wearing today? Why are they wearing that cap? Like, all of that stuff. Like, I dig it. It's like,
why do they have a Royal Blue Sox hat? Why do they put their last name on their jersey?
Well, the last name on the jersey, like, that's a whole other thing. But I do like to check out, like, the style. Like, how many people are wearing flat brim caps? And are older guys like me starting to move in that direction? Like, I'm now more of a flat brim guy than a bent brim guy. So I'm looking at guys that are around my age. I'm going, well, what are they doing? Like, what are they, like, do we look stupid if we're wearing the flat brim versus the bent brim and all that good stuff? It's just fun. Like, there's an energy to it. And as someone who covers games at Wrigley and occasionally will go check out the Cubs, like, the vibe there is so, it's a magical type of place. And the actual buzzing sound of a crowd at Wrigley Field in the concourse there is amazing. And you need to, it's something that you need to experience. In a game where people care, like, I'm not talking about like some random May game, but in a game where people care and you're at Wrigley and people are living and dying with every pitch, like that to me, there's something that is that's so beautiful and poetic about it. It makes it so fun to be in attendance for games like that. So off the bat, like, those are the things that I think about, the experience of it, riding the red line and getting off at Addison and seeing how many people can pile into a red line train car and seeing, you know, all the people just kind of descend down the stairs and them acting as if this is their first time seeing Wrigley Field. And here's a fun tip. When baseball comes back, don't even get tickets. Just get off at the Addison stop and just hang out on the platform for 10 minutes looking at Wrigley Field and watching people go in and out of the area. It's a really cool experience.
I don't find it enjoyable to sit there for all 9 innings. What I find enjoyable, I agree with you, I've been there 50, 100 times. I've got to walk around and check out the ballpark and all the new stuff that they've added. I agree 100%. Tomorrow night, we're going to re-air Mark Burley's Perfect Game. Myself and Chris Tannehill, we're going to do a short pregame and then an extended postgame. Ranji's going to call in. It's going to be a lot of fun because we produce that broadcast. What are your memories from July 23rd, 2009?
I remember scrambling to get to a television and enjoy it and try and then realizing like what's going on and everything and the catch. And it's just like there's so much about that I don't know if there's a White Sox player who is more beloved than Burley. And here's the reason that I bring it up. Remember that summer where it seemed like the White Sox were going to trade Burley? Mm-hmm. And I remember my dad saying to me, we need to go see Burley again. I want to go see Burley again because it might be the last time that we went to go get a chance to see him on the South Side. So it was them versus Baltimore, I want to say. And that outpouring of affection for him. Like, there's something that he really, I don't know, because he was not like a, like, he wasn't one of these, like, outsized characters. You know, he wasn't snarling at microphones or anything like that. He just did his job, and he seemed super likable, and he worked hard, but he knew how to have fun. Like, he's one of those dudes that I've always kind of gravitated towards as a fan, and I think that he has a very special place in White Sox lore. And then you add in, like, in the World Series year, like, the relief effort and the story of he's a couple of beers in. And, yes. And he's like, oh, what do you mean I have to pitch? Well, you got to pitch because we're running out of arms. Okay, well, let me put this beer down and grab some cleats and go out there and do well in an extra inning game. He's a great White Sox, and he's very much valued. I love, like, when I heard that you guys were doing some of this stuff, like, I was getting really excited about it because it's about, like, trying to capture the moments. Now, I'll tell you the truth. In seeing some of the old sports that have been put on television, I'm mm-hmm. really struggling when it comes to watching them.
Lawrence, I thought I was on an island with this, and I started talking about it with Grody the other day. And I'm not saying that we're doing the wrong thing by bringing these great moments back. And I do think it will be different because we're going to be going into April and this is supposed to be opening day tomorrow. And it's going to be comforting to hear baseball on the radio. Baseball is better on the radio. So I think that's a little different. And I'm looking up at my TV. They're replaying an old Bulls game. We've seen old Blackhawks games. I am with you. I can sit down for 5 minutes. But it doesn't grab me. I have a tough time getting through it.
It's not the same, and it doesn't reach me in a way that I was hoping it would. And mm-hmm. what bothers me is, and this is where we can, like, transition into the media aspect of it. It bothers me because it seems like there isn't an arsenal of content that networks had. So they were like, just throw on games. And what, like, for example, if you take what the Score is doing with these games, like, we're targeting something specific. It seems like some of the stuff, like, oh, here's the 2018 Valspar Open. Let's just put that on
filler
because we don't have anything to do. I'm like, that's not special. That's just something that happens to be on. And if it's about, like, capturing me, I'm going to go and watch something else. Like, I'll go and watch something where I can actually engage in some of this stuff. If it's a special game, if it's a championship game that was special. And honestly, like, I saw the Virginia Texas Tech game on the other day, and I'm like, I'm good. Like, I don't know if I need to go into the Wayback Machine because it was just last year. You know, so I don't need that. I do think that there is value for some of the younger part of our audience. Like, with the Bulls thing on NBC Sports Chicago, the Bulls and to a certain extent the Blackhawks, but more so the Bulls, a guy like Tony Gill had no concept of this. To him, the Bulls are myth. The 90s Bulls are myth. And we've been talking about it, but he has no sense of ownership of it. Well, now he can see that Michael Jordan was just an assassin, and Scottie Pippen is one of the best on-the-ball defenders to ever play the game, and Tony Kukoc was really good at basketball. So I think for that type of fan, there's value in it, but I'm not finding enough value to invest as much as I thought I was going to invest.
And there's also so much recency bias, and it's because we're humans. Even like our guy, Herb Lawrence, when he was posting today about top five quarterbacks of all time, it's like, yeah, four of them are current, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, the game has changed, and that's part of it. But that's a bigger conversation.
Well, I ran across this because people were talking about Cam Newton and the knock on Cam Newton. Oh, well, look at his completion percentage. Do you know Cam Newton has the same completion percentage career-wise as Dan Marino?
No, I did not.
Yeah, yeah. They're like right next to each other.
Lawrence, when we look at Trubisky's completion percentage numbers compared to quarterbacks 20 years ago, you would think he's a great quarterback.
Oh, and I mean, if you go even farther back than that, like my favorite stat of all time, Joe Namath's career completion percentage is 50.1. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Like, run the ball.
That guy's in the Hall of Fame, and his completion percentage is 50.1.
We've complained about limited access and how that this has changed for sports media over the years, and the ones losing out are really the fans, whether they realize that or not. Is there going to be even less access moving forward?
Yeah, that's what scared me initially when the first move that MLB made was, oh, we'll just close the clubhouse to the media. Like, and I was going, that doesn't even make any sense to do that. You're going to close it to the media, but you're going to let people's friends and family still come into the clubhouse. You're going to let support staff still come into the clubhouse. Like, you're not really protecting anyone. And it did feel like it was one of those things of, as the access continues to shrink and shrink and shrink, that the media was somehow, the dirty media was somehow being blamed for some of this stuff. I hope that the smart teams and the smart leagues will understand what media can do by, and smart players, like let me give the players some credit here too, by getting out. And like I've noticed it in watching SportsCenter over the last couple of days where guys are willing to come on in long form and hang out for a segment because they're not doing anything. So Brooks Koepka, I was watching him today where he was just hanging out on SportsCenter, just talking. And those, I think that there are people like that will, their fan bases, their personal fan bases will grow. And now how do you go about
maybe today? Who's watching SportsCenter?
Well, I think that for each individual, I think it'll help. Now, with the teams, it's different. And the NFL is doing it by business as usual. Like, screw it. We're just going to keep doing what we do. And I think that there's a real advantage to the timing of it. And I'm not saying that it's insidious, but I'm saying that the NFL sees an opportunity here to – they are the only real sports story that's going on in America right now because there's player movement. And it does give fans an opportunity to think about, well, man, I can't wait until the season starts to see if Mitchell Trubisky can beat out Nick Foles or vice versa, or how Tom Brady is going to look in a Buccaneers uniform and all this stuff that's gone on. It's a great piece of propaganda, and I mean that in a good way, for the NFL. Them continuing to do business. My concern is because of the way that they operate as an entity, are they being foolish in acting as if everything is normal? Because now you've finally gotten to the point where they've closed all the facilities in the NFL, and you have the GMs telling Roger Goodell, look, we can't, like, this, are we doing this draft thing? Because this doesn't seem like a really smart thing for us to be doing. Like, our doctors can't get rechecks on draftees, and we're trying to figure out how to get these medicals done on free agents. Like, all of this stuff. And I'm not sure that it makes sense to do. But as someone who works in sports for a living, it's great to have some little piece of content that we can draw off of.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure if it at the end of the day is worth it.
This has been 2 weeks, Lawrence. When we're trying to put all this into perspective and it feels like months and months, this has been 2 weeks. And the media aspect, one of my concerns is that these companies will be forced, or they'll say that they're going to be forced as they lose sponsors and ratings dip, that they're going to really pare everything down and only keep the employees that they must have. And then when they return, they're not going to add like they had a full force employee base before.
Yeah, and there's the force of nature clause in just about everyone's contract. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that a lot of companies are trying to figure out, like, when and if do they pull the trigger on something like that. Like, it's in my contracts and your contract. Everyone pretty much. Well, you know what I mean. It's in everyone's deal that's something that could go away. And then you try to figure out, like, what you're going to do. Like, that's why, I mean, I'm happy that we're still putting out content in both places that I work. And we're doing workarounds. And I will say that's something that, honestly, Joe, gives me a lot of hope. Because I'm seeing a level of willingness to be creative in media that I have not seen in a long time. That because we are forced to do things remotely, we're seeing people be more open to doing some of that stuff. And that to me is pretty cool. That's where some of the great ideas that will take what we do forward are going to be byproducts of. Like, that's where it's going to happen. But yeah, it is concerning. It's like any other industry where the people who own these businesses are going to have to make really, really tough decisions on whether or not to stay active and stay on. And I understand advertisers saying, I no one can come into my business right now, you know, so why am I still advertising? Like, that makes all the sense in the world. And that's one of the drawbacks, where you have media as for profit, but we got to work and we got to eat too. So I don't know. Like, it's going to be in a really interesting place. But that the idea of content, you know how I feel. Like, and we talked about this when we were working together on the show. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent of bringing content back. Like, I know that there are some people who get annoyed with it, but not everyone is listening at every minute of the day. So to me, if Mully and Hall have a great interview with someone, like, I want that, and I want to share that with the listener. And now I think that the television networks, more so than radio, I think radio's usually been pretty good at this. Like, I find myself, if I'm doing satellite stuff, if I'm listening to Stern, like, Stern doesn't care. Like, if there's a great interview from 10 years ago, he'll bring it back. And it might be the first time that someone heard that interview, and you walk away going, man, I didn't know I cared about John Stamos. But I do, because I enjoyed that interview that he did with Howard. Television needs to, in my opinion, sports television, in my opinion, needs to do a better job of having evergreen content that they can roll out in situations like this, or to just maybe do something that looks different than a debate show or anything else.
Yeah.
I give ESPN credit. Like, they finally figured out, we have this bank of incredible evergreen content with the 30 for 30s, and we're just now deciding to put them back on. And I'm trying E60. To figure out what. Yeah. Like, what took you so long? Like, what? Why wasn't there someone that was like, yeah, you know what we're going to do instead of running SportsCenter all day? We're going to do E60. I saw a feature that they did last week, and it was about the Black Sox scandal and Pete Rose. Now, I was weirded out because they like kind of conflated the two, but it was the Vanada, you know, like, it was them doing it. And that to me is top-notch, like, fun journalism. You can't tell me that shows in sports that look like real sports on HBO don't capture people's imagination, or your 30 for 30s. Like, those are things that people like. Or the sports documentaries that are out there.
We're Sports Century. We're Sports Century.
Joe, 100%. Like, I look at the things that I've been watching. I love that NBC Sports Chicago, like, rushed and hustled to get that I'm Back documentary out and ready for people. And the Women of Troy documentary on HBO is so good. And it's one of those things where you can run that on a loop. You can run that back to back. People haven't seen it enough. And it's evergreen. Like, it's something that can run forever. And so using that versus, well, here's a random game from June of 2011. There are enough talented people that, honestly, if you just put them in a room, people would watch that instead of some of the stuff that we're seeing right now. And that's why I'm encouraged that there are going to be places where the creativity comes from. And we're going to see some of that as we get farther and farther into this.
Well, that's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Joe Ostrowski. On the other side, I've got a Ryan Pace question and
oh, dear God,
movies, documentary, a couple other questions for Lawrence. This is Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. You're listening to The Joe O Show on 670 The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, kind enough to join me this evening for the 7 o'clock hour. And the little nuggets that we get in the sports world, we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks. And so the Bears bring in former Seattle Seahawks first-round pick offensive lineman Ifedi. And this has been a theme so far this offseason for Ryan Pace. And it's funny, you know, even after 5 full years, Pace still has his fanboys, some of his fanboys in the media. But for some reason, he's being commended by a few people for bringing in all these failed first-round picks on one-year prove-it deals. I don't have an issue with it, but it's striking again, Lawrence. He's forced to do this because he can't find a first-round pick. He can't hit on any of his own. And at one point in the near future, people may not see it right now, the Bears are going to have to pay the piper since they haven't built a core through the draft.
Yeah, they've kind of kicked everything down the road a little bit, and the whole issue with the bust picks has made you have to go chase in other directions. The fact that you had to spend $30 million of guaranteed dollars on Robert Quinn because you couldn't trust Leonard Floyd, and they kept telling us for the last 2 years, oh, you know, don't worry about the sack total, don't worry about that number. It's about the pressures. He's getting a lot of pressures. He's good in coverage. He's good against the run. Those things are true. Like, Leonard Floyd is a really good player against the run, probably better than I thought he was going to be. But look at what they did. What did they do? They went out and signed a guy who's got great career sack numbers, a guy that is who gets the quarterback on the ground. They found that that has value, and it has extreme value when you're putting him next to Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack. The offensive line, they've spent so much money on their tackles that it's kind of made it so that they can't really spend money anywhere else on that offensive line. They gave money to Cody White here at center. They invested in James Daniels, thinking that he would be, you know, a prodigy at center. And he struggled. He's played much better at guard than he did at center. And then they have Coward on the other side who just, like, that conversion is not happening fast enough from defense to offense. So they have to go and try and fix some of their issues. And this is the way that they're going to do it. They're going to hope that with their coaching, they can get the most out of guys that on the surface have a lot of talent.
Everyone's looking for stuff to watch. I'm glad you're bringing up some sports documentaries because I have been watching so many documentaries across the board, whether it's sports or music, or I was watching one earlier today on Ted Kaczynski. I just really love that stuff. and I'm so desperate. I was checking out the ESPN Plus, not ESPN, the Disney Plus app that we have now because, well, Frozen 2's on it, so we have to have it. And I was actually getting kind of excited going through this stuff. I was talking to the kids. I'm like, it's Darkwing Duck. Look at DuckTales, every episode that I used to watch. But then I found the Marvel section. And you used to talk about these Marvel movies all the time, and I had no idea what you were talking about. There's this blackout phase, and parents of young children know exactly what I'm talking about. I've discussed it many times with Barry Rosner. You know, all movies that come out, popular TV shows, a lot of times you miss all of it until you're able to find some time for yourself and catch up sometimes a decade later. I'm starting to catch up. So in that Marvel tab, which movies do I have to watch?
Okay, so my brother asked me about this before Infinity War, because he doesn't like any of this stuff, but he knows that I like it, and he said, okay, it's clearly a worldwide phenomenon. How can I catch up without watching all of the, I think at the time it was, 19 movies, but before this? So I gave him a cheat sheet. I will tell you, you have to watch Iron Man 1, have to. You can skip Iron Man 2 and 3 if you want. But you have to watch Iron Man 1. I think that the Captain America movie, the first one, is fine, but I think Winter Soldier is the superior movie. And it'll be easy to understand because there's some good flashback stuff in Winter Soldier. They'll make you kind of understand what's going on in there. Thor Ragnarok is a masterpiece, and the more I think about it, the more important it is, and it kind of rolls right into Infinity War. Guardians of the Galaxy 1, you need to watch. I'm so-so on Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Let's see. The first Avengers movie, you need to see.
I believe Black Panther's on there now.
And you definitely need to see Black Panther.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I think you need to see Black Panther because of how beautiful it is. Like, of all the Marvel movies, I think it's the most beautiful. Like, the cinematically, it's got great colors. It's very cool, like a very, very well done, like futuristic type look that they gave to Wakanda. So I would say those. But Iron Man, have you watched Iron Man 1?
No.
Iron Man, if you're not hooked after Iron Man 1, I would be shocked. Absolutely shocked.
So start there. I was disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, that kicks off the universe. Like, that's the first movie that kicks off. Like, everything kind of starts and stops with Tony Stark and Iron Man.
So I guess the ones that are not on there are Spider-Man Far From Home coming, and unfortunately the Hulk, because when I was younger, the Hulk was my guy. I couldn't wait till 9 o'clock in the summer on WGN because I was sitting down and watching the Hulk.
Well, you'll get a lot of the Hulk in the Avengers movie and the subsequent movies. So you'll get enough from it. What else wasn't on there?
Spider-Man Far From Home and Homecoming.
Spider-Man Far From Home and Homecoming are both pretty good. Far From Home is later. Like, it's like the last movie. So you don't have to worry about that. I would tell you that a good movie for you and the kids will be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It's animated.
Okay.
It's really good, and it works. Our guy Jake Johnson is one of the stars of that movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was their best movie of 2018. I thought they really, like, it was a really good movie, not just a good superhero movie. There'll be themes that you'll pick up on as an adult, and there's stuff that they're going to love because it's a younger guy and it's animated. So put that in the queue as well for things to watch. It's outside of the MCU of the Marvel Universe, but I think that you'll really, really like it.
A lot of texters are saying Civil War.
Yeah, you got to watch Civil War. I forgot to add that. You got to watch Civil War, and because it sets up a lot of things, and you'll see the tension like happening with some of the characters once we get to Winter Soldier. But Civil War is a classic, like, graphic novel, and I actually thought that they did a good job with it. And I would suggest, after going back and looking at it, I would suggest Ant-Man 2.
Okay. So. You gave me 10.
That's good. I gave you half. I gave you half of the MCU, and then I mean I'm assuming that you have to watch Infinity War and Endgame.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So it's 12.
No, I was joking about 10. I think you had. Let me see. We're at 8. Okay. Yeah, so that's fine. So you got me to 10.
Yeah, and then all of those movies, Thor Ragnarok. So make it so that Thor Ragnarok, Infinity War, and Endgame are together. Because they roll into each other, basically. So those are the last three movies of what we kind of know as the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
To me, Ragnarok is a bleeping masterpiece. Like the journey that happened with Chris Hemsworth as an actor from the beginning of him playing Thor originally to where he is now, that guy worked his ass off and has become one of the more beloved actors in that entire thing.
Let's wrap with this. Over the last decade, who is your second best executive producer?
Second best EP?
Yes.
What if I said Roki?
She wasn't your EP. I was then.
She was the acting EP when you would be out, though.
But I'm saying it on a consistent basis.
I mean, so I either have to offend Herb or Tony.
All right, you could offend me by putting me second or third.
No, we all know where you stand.
Am I missing someone? Should I be counting Rock? I mean, we have to go way back, but
I mean, yeah, I mean, you gotta count guys like Rock.
You give Goffman or Weber?
Yeah,
Goffman or Weber the EP.
Goffman was the EP. Weber was the associate producer on the old Hamp and Home show.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to some of those opens that you had, you could not air that anymore.
No, you couldn't. No, you really couldn't. I'm going to say Herb. I'm going to go ahead and offend Tony.
Because he left.
Yeah, because he left. I mean, you know, we started launching the show, and then 9 months in, you're like, oh, I got a better job, so I'm leaving. No.
I'm out. But now you're working with him again.
Yeah, now he's my boss. Like, that's the exactly. That's the really messed up part about it, is that now I get assignments from Tony now over at NBC Sports Chicago. Hey, can you do this podcast about this? Like, yeah, I can do it, Mr. Gill.
Yeah, fine. Lawrence, this was a lot of fun. Man, your line sounds clean. Did you get the Comrex set up?
I did. Rich Wyatt, came by, because the problem was that I was too far away. Like, in that promo clip that they're using of me, like, I'm on the app, and the app sounded okay. I was just too far away from my router. So Rich, plugged into the router, and I actually think that if I just decided to take my iPad downstairs and use the app down here, I think it would be all right. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, this is crystal clear, and this is what – I mean, this is what we needed. We needed more of these available, and it's not like we're doing games. So – The units are available, so why not use them to try and get as clean of a sound as we can for the people that listen to us every day. And shout out to Score listeners. I really appreciate them sticking with us and wanting to be with us and it being like a big community. That's a good thing, and I'm glad that we're all appreciating each other, I think, a little bit more.
And if they want to bring one of those Comrex units to Tinley Park, I'm over here. Just stop by.
If we have any left, I'm all for it. I think that we could, honestly, it's changed my whole view about how we do this. Like, I wasn't someone that wanted to do shows from home. I always felt like I needed to be in the studio. I'm kind of enjoying doing the shows at home, as long as I can literally go outside. So today was a good day to do the show and to go outside.
Well, we'll probably be there eventually when these companies start looking at the bottom line. Oh, yeah, we can save hundreds of thousands of dollars on downtown studio space. We can just have them at home.
I mean, that's what Sirius has been doing. That's what they do. There's rarely someone that's in a studio for Sirius. I saw Shea Pepler. She just is going to be doing stuff on Sirius NFL. She's mm-hmm. doing it from the crib, and that's the way it should be. Jason does his Sirius show. Him and Hood. Anthony, they do their – Hood does their – They're all doing it from home. It makes all the sense in the world. I'm a dinosaur on this. I should not have been as much of a dinosaur as I've been on this.
Lawrence, thank you again, and we're going to have to do this more often.
Yeah, man, whenever you need it. Like I said it last week on Twitter. I'm available to any of my friends and family that have shows and they want to just hang out with someone and have content. I feel bad because I'm keeping people from the screaming Nick Costos.
Nick's actually running late, so it's fine.
Oh, all right, cool. I mean, I can hang out, man. I got nothing to do. I'm going to watch a couple of episodes of what's on. What am I going to watch tonight? I'm still trying to figure out what's going on Westworld. So I'm going to watch a couple episodes of that tonight. Like that's like my thing.
How is the? I've heard Julie talk about that. Is that something else? The next thing I need to watch in addition to these movies?
I mean, it's a whole different vibe. Like it takes some mental gymnastics to try and figure out what the hell is going on Westworld. It's
not like Tiger King. Is it worse more than Tiger King?
Well, I haven't started Tiger King, but I know Dude. That Herbie and Campy are like they're into it. Is it really worth my time? It's crazy like that.
You like train wrecks once in a while, right?
Yeah, I've been watching. Have you checked out McMillions?
No.
Oh my God, Kenzie from B96. Hit me to it. She was like, you got to watch McMillions, and it's all about the scam, the Monopoly scam at McDonald's. And it's so, six episodes HBO.
Okay.
It's so crazy, and they do, like, these reenactments. And, you know, with McDonald's being based in Chicago, like, one of the people that was involved in catching them, like, we're looking out of her office, and we see, like, downtown Chicago. It's what Joe. It's wild. It's so wild that if people like looked at it and they went past it in their guide, I'm telling you, go back and watch it.
I'm gonna watch that.
It's really crazy, and the way that they got away with this stuff for a long time is out of pocket.
Man, I'm gonna watch that. Yeah. Here's what happened with Tiger King, is. I watched two episodes with Dawn. She fell asleep. I'm the one that stays up late in the house. It's usually because show's wrapping up at 10. You know how it is. You can't go right to bed. You got to unwind a little bit.
Yep.
So there are seven episodes. She fell asleep after two. Then I stayed up and watched 3, 4, 5, and 6. She got mad.
Wow.
It was amazing. Just amazing. If you don't want to think, well, if you just want, it'll hit you multiple times. You're like, wow, that happened. I can't believe these people exist, but they do exist among us. They're not close to us, but they're out there. Yeah, it was wild, man. You should definitely watch it. You know, once in a while, we look for mindless viewing. That fits this category.
All right. I mean, I like that. Anything that you want to add, like that's a. I'm good with just kind of stockpiling all this stuff now to watch. and I'm trying to be good about different things and trying to switch it up like from night to night. Cause I was joking earlier that last week I was watching a lot of dark dystopian stuff and I'm kind of predisposed to that. Like I love dystopian, like science fiction stuff, but that's what we're kind of living in right now. So I'm not sure that it was the best for my mental well-being to do it. And it was like Mr. Robot is – I love that show. It's so – and the last season of it was so well-written and so well-acted that it was hard for me to kind of turn away from it. But sometimes you need candy. Like, sometimes you just need a little bit of candy. You need to laugh at some things. You need to go, what? Like, is this a really, like, a thing? And that's what I'm trying to do a little bit more of. I'm trying to enjoy some more of the silly stuff that I already have. Like, I love my little superhero shows and some of that stuff. Like, where it's – I won't say it's, like, totally mindless, but it's it's candy. Like, it's television candy. Like, there's a
Love is Blind or The Circle.
Yeah, like, there's enough vegetables out there. Like, because I can, as someone who teaches media, I consume a ton of news every day to see how things are being portrayed in different areas of that. So there's a ton of vegetables and that are out there. Bring on the candies and cakes. That's where I think that people should be spending their nights, because we're being bombarded with the stress that each of us feel in our own lives right now. We're also, I think, picking up on other people's stress because we're trying to be good citizens and be cognizant of the effects that we have on each other. And I think that there, when you add in the media aspect of it, I mean, media capital M, when you add in that aspect of it, it makes it difficult for us to move, like to move forward, because we do care about how many cases are being reported. And it does feel like it's overwhelming when you see what's happening in New York or what's getting ready to happen in Florida, what's happening in Louisiana right now. Like, it feels overwhelming. And so those moments of escape are critical for all of us. It's not an abdication of our responsibility to be good citizens, but I do think that we need to make sure that we have some of that candy. You know what I like watching? And there's actually data that backs this up. If you look at when the country is either getting ready for like a big national election or is in crisis, whether it's hurricanes or winter storms or anything like that, the place where people go is HGTV. Their numbers, I guarantee you that their numbers now are through the roof. Although network television right now is getting a big boost. Network news is actually starting to get a big boost again. But HGTV, those shows, The Property Brothers, Love It or List It, like all those shows, they're very formulaic.
What about the one in Chicago, which had all these lawsuits?
Well, maybe not that one. And then there's the other two shows where.
What about the one with Tony Siragusa in the man cave, right?
I don't know if they even have that anymore. That's a thing.
Bad. It's so bad.
Well, they had a show where it was this couple, and they were flipping houses, and then like the wife cheated on the husband, and now she's got her own show, and he's got his own show. So there's a little bit of drama, but the shows are so formulaic and comforting that people will just be like, let me put on HGTV because I know that I'm not going to be offended. I know that I'm not going to be bombarded with the news of the day. I'm just going to learn about how to put a backsplash on, and I'm going to learn to see what you can get if you do some really simple things in trying to make your house affordable so that Amy Kite can go out and sell it.
And people have the time to do that stuff right now. Like all the projects over the weekend, I thought she was insane, but my wife decided to paint her office. I'm like, have at it. Hey. Good luck, because the kids aren't going anywhere aside from the yard.
Well, I mean, it's a good time to do some of that home improvement stuff that you can. Like there's a guy that I do some stuff with, like my handyman who does stuff around this house, a great guy named Marcus. And I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? Because we were going to do like a really big project in my house, but I don't think that having, you know, four guys do a project in the house is a really good idea right now.
Yeah. So, I just finished mine like right before.
Yeah,
like,
you got yours in right under the wire.
I got my, I was talking to Dawn about it. You know, if this happened a little bit earlier, there's no way we do that, spend that amount of money. And I got this great setup and no sports to watch.
Yeah, but it'll pay off a little bit later. But what I ended up doing with Marcus was there was stuff outside. And I said to him, like, what would help you right now? Like and he was like, look, you've been talking about remulching this yard for forever. Let me go do that. And it worked out. Like, we're all trying to figure out ways to keep money in the economy, to help the people that help us. I felt really bad. Like last week, I was cooking like every night, and you know, I'm paranoid anyway, so I'm, like, staying inside. And then I realized, like, with Uber Eats and Postmates and anything else, like, I can actually help people by ordering food. And who doesn't love that? Like, I can help the businesses in my neighborhood or restaurants that I like by doing that. And people that are out there driving delivery, like, I'm tipping big, man. Like, I'm like, let's get this money to the people that need that money. And great, I got a great chicken quesadilla that I can enjoy. So all of us are trying to do this.
Wait, you mean, did you find some people that are willing to go past the gate, or are they making you come out to the gate?
Oh, no, this, luckily, Joe, this time, I have eliminated the restaurants that won't get out of the car.
It's so funny, mad.
Joe, I was on fire. Like, I was absolutely on fire. There is this pizza place, and I'm not going to say who, but there's this pizza place in Hyde Park that I ordered pizza. It was in the middle of a snowstorm. They were like, oh, no, we're still delivering. And this guy was like, oh, your gate's frozen. And I was like, no, it's not, because Mel had, like, used the gate to come upstairs. So I knew the gate wasn't frozen, and this guy would not get out of his car. I was furious. Like, I was so angry at that. So now the beautiful thing is you can get this stuff delivered, like, to your door. Like, I know that Uber Eats offers that. Like, they will drop it at the door now for you. So if it's a way that you can help out, it's a way you can help out.
Lawrence, thank you for being so generous with your time tonight.
Anytime, Joe. You know that.
We'll be listening tomorrow at noon. That's Lawrence Holmes. Catch him noon to 2 every day right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And if you have some time on your hand, you're into podcasts, check out the House of L podcast. Want to hear some swearing? I did some of that back at episode 52, but he's got episode 100 coming up next. And, of course, the Loho Daily podcast. Also, you see him on NBC Sports Chicago doing a bunch of stuff. Lawrence never stops working. He's on Twitter at Lawrence W. Holmes. This is Joe Ostrowski, and every hour bringing in a different friend in the business. Coming up next, I'll bring in Nick Costos. Maybe you heard us doing some NFL playoff shows in January when he was coming into town. And it's funny, at the time we were kind of joking about the coronavirus because you were starting to get reports here in Chicago of people testing positive for it. And by the way, in the 9 o'clock hour, everyone's friend, Ron Coomer, Cubs radio analyst, he will drop by. Also, we have a lot coming up. Make sure you hang out till 10. This is Joe O on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.